Amen. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to start in verse 18 through 20, but then we're going to jump back in just a minute to verse 16 and 17. Again, our series here, we're going to do 4 weeks of this series. It is about the wrath of God. And I hope that you guys understand your preacher by now. I love to talk about the good things, the fun things. I love to talk about benevolence, compassion, kindness, rest. I love talking about rest. That was good. But we are going to teach and preach the whole counsel of God here, okay? As long as I'm here, we're going to be going through the book. And today we're going to hit some of the hardest topics you will probably ever hit in the gospel. And that's in Romans chapter 1. And I need you to not listen to me, but I need you to listen to the Lord and really soak in what he is saying to hearts today as we continue this idea and understanding of the wrath of God. Today's message is the wrath of God is revealed. Look with me in Romans chapter 1 in verse 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." If you'll remember, last week we opened our series on wrath and we looked at who God is and who we are. And so I just want to bring up a few things for us to remember a little bit about that. The first thing I would remind you is God is sovereign, right? God's in control. And I know sometimes we wonder, like, how can God be in control? But because God has given us free will so that we could freely love him, as a result of that, we have sin, and then sometimes we have chaos, right? And yet, over all that, God is in control. Because he's also sovereign, he's king, and he's a just judge, right? And so what we looked at last week is God will judge sin. That's going to happen. That's who he is. It's by nature what will happen. If sin encounters his presence, it's going to be judged. God is holy. He's perfect. And because of that, he is set apart completely different. Now, the issue became what? Mankind is what? Sinful. So if God is sovereign and God is holy and sin must be punished and man is sinful, we have a problem, right? We're in trouble. And then that's where those next two attributes really are a blessing to us, aren't they, right? That God not only is sovereign and holy, but he is loving, he cares about us, and then he is wise. And if you remember, I put it this way here on the slide this morning, in God's wisdom, he made a way to remain just, to punish sin, and yet to be the justifier of all who would believe in the work of his only son, Jesus. Were you paying attention as you were singing this morning? Rock of Ages, that's an old song, isn't it, right? Be of sin the double cure, save from what? Wrath, and make me pure. Hang on with me. You guys, you're okay. It's cooler in here. We're not asleep yet, right? We talked about propitiation last week. We talked about the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, and I said it was two things, right? Remember I gave my really strange, weird illustration about driving to Disneyland and you got arrested and somebody needed to pay the bill, but you still wanted a ticket into the kingdom? Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath. Jesus paid for my sin, so I don't have to face the hell. Jesus paid the hell. And the double cure is he made me pure. I get his righteousness imputed to me, and therefore I have a path to God. I can be in God's presence. That is so awesome. Now, you read that in those words in that song, if you're not paying attention, it just goes, whew, doesn't it? But when the person was writing it, they got it. They said, the double cure. Jesus is the double cure. He is the propitiation for our sins. Praise the Lord. Now, as you remember where I concluded last week, wrath is removed for those who place their faith in the Son. But for those who reject Jesus, I'm going to say this clearly, this is not penology, wrath remains. John chapter 3, you look at it with me. Wrath remains on those who reject Jesus Christ. Not my words, right? That's the Lord's words. Today we're going to look at a New Testament passage that clearly describes the wrath of God. And I'm going to give you a disclaimer here today. You got to pay attention to me. This is crazy. You really need to pay attention. What will happen to this passage is people will abuse this passage, and what they will do is look at it and say, oh, those people are sinners, they're wrong, they deserve judgment. That is not what I'm wanting you to walk away from here today. Today, what I want you to do is look at, am I one of those people? Am I submitting myself fully to God's plan and obedience so that I can have his pardon, his forgiveness? So if you're walking out of this place today just so that you can judge other people, you missed it. All right? So you're going to have to work, and I'm going to have to work today, that we really focus on this wrath of God, that it should be a practical application to me and to you. This is not an opportunity just to cast stones at other people. And if you see that, please recheck what you're thinking. Again, the point is for us to look at ourselves, to run to the cross for our forgiveness, and when we have been forgiven much, to look to show mercy to everyone we meet. Some of my favorite people in the whole wide world are the people that have found mercy and redemption. You're going to think this is probably hard for some of you to believe, but some of those people, they were college academic professors. And I know about three of them, probably some of the most humble people I've ever met in my life. And I think it was because they know how much it was for God to forgive them. And so now they just live out in love. I want us to be those kind of people. We should be mercy showers. The whole passage in Romans 1 is leading to the same passage that I read to you last week. If you guys remember last week, I told you that in Romans chapter 3, we talked about for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? When I was jumping, trying to do a broad jump. In that paragraph, I said this is probably my, if I had to pick one passage of the whole Bible, that's my favorite passage. All the stuff that we're leading to here in chapter 1 is coming to that crescendo where God says, I am just and the justifier if you put your faith in Jesus. And all this stuff about wrath, it all leads to that same place. Everybody tracking with that? All right? So that's important that we kind of keep that together today. We get to be in God's presence because of what Jesus has done. Really simply, the bad news is very bad, but what is the gospel? What do we call that? The other phrase for that? It is the good news, right, boys? Are you awake? They're looking at me like, what? What? We talked about good news this morning as well. The gospel is good news. But the good news is better. If you will receive the gift of Jesus, you will escape the wrath of God. But not only that, you will find the love of God. So let's jump into Romans chapter 1 briefly this morning. And here's some of the attributes, and I want you to think about what country this may be describing. There's a denial of the creator and of creation. There is immorality. There is homosexuality. There is murder, deceit, arrogance, disobedience. They are faithless, heartless, and ruthless. What nation am I describing? No. First century Rome. And that's what I want you to think about, right? When you hear a lot of those phrases, you're like, is this our country we're talking about? No. This is 2,000 years ago Rome that we're talking about. And yet, that's why I want to say to you today, the Bible is so powerful because it is always relevant, right? 2,000 years ago today, it is going to speak. Some people would put it this way, and this is the way I thought, especially as a young person. We might assume that the savage in Africa, again in quotes that phrase, is lost and is an immoral, wicked person. But did you now know that now over 50% of Central Africa is Christian? Hello? We're going one way. They're going the other, right? As far as growth. We sometimes don't realize the way that God's power is moving, and we live in our past. And yet I want to remind you that this is another reason why the scriptures are so relevant to us today. What I want you to see this morning is God's righteousness. It has been revealed. So jump back with me in verse 16. This is the verse from our pray and go from this morning as well. And look at what Paul says about this good news. Paul says in verse 16 of Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the good news of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And so Paul's going to walk through these whole three chapters here and to prove this point that everybody's a sinner, and what we saw last week, the whole world is accountable to a holy and a just God. And in chapter one, he's going to lay it out for the Gentiles that they are sinners. God's righteousness has been revealed in the gospel, and it is powerfully simple. Please hear me this morning. Believe on Jesus, live by faith, and this gospel is offered to all people. And again, I'm trying to be very simple and clear here. I'm not trying to be flippant in any way. The flip side of God's response to human rejection, to sin, is wrath. And I think you'll find it very interesting how wrath comes out in this passage. Paul is going to prove that all people are sinners here in chapter 1. So let's look together at darkened hearts. And jump with me down, if you would, again to verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That may be one of the saddest verses in all the scriptures to me. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Wrath here, Paul says, it is already being revealed. Now, hear me today, there will be, and we're going to study this probably in 2 weeks, there's a wrath that is coming, all right? There's a justice and a judgment, there's a great throne of judgment time that is coming that is ultimate wrath. But Paul says it's already been revealed, it's already been set out. And I think you're going to find it very interesting today what it looks like, because it probably isn't what you think it looks like. God punishes sin, he's holy, we've been over that. It is by very definition in his nature that sin would be punished. And here we see that wrath is revealed against godlessness and wickedness, or very simply put, against sin. I want you to notice some of the characteristics of these people that are facing the wrath of God. The first thing is they suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. Do you ever suppress the truth? This morning I'm with these young men down here, and they made me feel so good. I asked how old I was, and I thought I was in my 40s. I was like, oh, and I got to thinking, and Aaron told me how old he was. I'm like, Aaron, I am 40 years older than you. And I about passed out. That's crazy. And what I wanted to do was suppress the truth. Right? Anybody else want to do that sometimes? I don't like it. I don't want to hear that. I still want to be young and play ball and have a good time and feel like my body can do all the things. And I'm encountering my body telling me, no, you can't do all the things. I will never, ever do a trampoline park again in my life. My body said, we're done at 50. Never do that again. And yet, I want to suppress it because I don't like what it says, so I want to hide it. Do you realize that people do the same thing with their pleasures and their sins? The truth says, don't do these things, but they're like, I enjoy this too much. I want to stuff them. That truth down. I want to hide it. I want to suppress it. I don't want to hear it. That is what these people were doing that are going to see the wrath of God. The truth is there, but they suppress it. They push it down. They push it away. And here's the thing, and we all do this, they choose their own pleasure over the truth of God. This morning, if you're reflecting, if you're being honest before the Lord, ask him, Lord, help me as I am prone to do the same thing, to choose my own pleasure over what you have for me. These people will go so far in the suppression of the truth that they're going to literally worship idols. What are the idols made of? Anything was created, the birds, the animals, the reptiles, right? Now, I'm going to challenge you here on this just a little bit as well. I've had 2 trips to India, which means I know like less than this much about India. but they have transformed my life and my thinking in those times. And literally, I saw people in India who were offering flowers and prayers to created images. And they were some incredibly beautiful images. Some of them were massive. The monkey god image, I think, was over 90 feet tall. And people go to a temple, and there they worship something that was created by man's hands. But I will tell you that in Wendy and I, in our neighborhood, there's a beautiful lady who's kind and sweet, but she offers flowers to an idol in her home on a regular basis, worshiping something made with human hands. People were suppressing the truth of who the real God was, and instead, they were believing the superstition about created things, and it results in this type of thing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. They did not want to submit themselves to a holy God, so they created a God in their own image. And I would say that in some respects, we do the very same thing, maybe not with a hand fashion idol, but some other things. Second thing I want you to see here, God has made what may be known about him plain to them. This is pretty interesting. How do you know about God? You're privileged, right? Whether it's on your phone or your iPad or the nice hard copy book you have, we possess the scriptures. That is called special revelation, right? It's very distinct. It's very clear. It tells us who Jesus is, why he came, what his purpose was, what heaven and hell is. It tells us what the gospel is. That is special revelation. What we're talking about here in Romans 1 is not special revelation. We're talking about general revelation. And that's something that everybody gets, even if they don't have this book. They are, by the way they are made, they know in their mind and their body, they know there is a God. Miss Kay and I were talking about her gardening this morning. I'm sure if she's looking at those tomatoes or she's looking at those asparagus plants, she can see design in those things, right? Any rational, normal person that looks at that says, there's no way that just happened, right? It'd be like if you were to take all the pieces of a train and put them in an airplane or a house, whatever you envision, fly the airplane over, drop it all out, and then when it all falls, it just falls into this locomotive or a nice mansion. Does it work like that? You just have a mess, right? And today, what I want to remind you is that there is a designer, and we are design, and everybody, whether they have the Bible or not, knows in their heart and themselves that there's something bigger than them. That is God's general revelation. And here, Romans, Paul says, God has made what may be known about him plain to them. Everybody has access to this general revelation. Their external sources, like the power, the divinity, the creativity, creation itself demonstrates there is a God. But you guys, even internally, there are sources like our own conscience that lets us know innately that there is something above us and beyond us. And then this phrase hits me, and this is the one that hits me so hard. The Bible says they are without what? Excuse. And I'm begging you today, this is why we need to have missionaries. This is why I'm so proud of Anna getting 91 kids, trying to go to 9 different places, right? Because there are people around the world that don't have access to the special revelation that you have in your hands today. And they need to know about Jesus. Amen? And here's the big reason, because the Bible says God has given them enough to know about him that they are without excuse. They will face the wrath of God unless they find the truth of Jesus. That's not my opinion. That's what Paul speaks here about the Lord in Romans 1. So then we come to this phrase. The phrase is this: God gave them over. The wrath of God is being revealed against all wickedness and all unrighteousness. And here you're going to see this phrase 3 times. And I want you to do your homework today with the preacher, dig into this passage, and see how this may apply to us today. God gave them over. This is the wrath that has been revealed. What is so interesting to me here is the wrath of God here is not a tornado or a fire or a flood, or even as we see in the Old Testament, it's not the opening of the earth. The wrath of God is simply this: God gave them over. He lets us have the bad things we are choosing, and as a result, we pay the consequences and miss the good things we were truly made for. Let me kind of word it a different way, and again, this is my tone, so be careful with this, but God's wrath is simply, in a sense, Him giving up on us. If I were to take God's voice, it might be something like this. You want to reject me? You want to choose the things that will hurt you over the good things that I have given you, that I have made for you? Fine, you can have them. I am giving you over. As a parent, have you ever felt like that? I've told you 18 times not to do that. Now I'm just going to let you do it, so hopefully you'll learn a lesson. Right? We've all felt that way, right? Hopefully we don't do that. But here what you're going to see is God finally says, okay, you choose sin, you choose wickedness, you choose everything but me. My wrath is this. I'm going to let you have the consequences of your choices. And I'm going to tell you, that is one of the scariest places to be. Does anybody here want the consequences for their sin? Man, I don't want that. But God, in His wrath, He gives these people over to their sin. Look at the first stage with me. The first stage, I believe, or not I believe, the Bible teaches, is immorality. They exchange the glory of the immortal for statues. And if you'll hear me today, with the glory gone, their sense of shame begins to disappear, and then we see abuse. And immorality isn't quite so bad anymore. Look at verse 24 with me. Again, not my words, the word of God. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. First stage here, God lets them choose sexual impurity, and He lets them have the consequences of their choice. And here's what I believe. This is a little penology here. The reason I believe it becomes so easy is they exchange the truth of God for a lie. What is the lie? The lie is worship the created things rather than the Creator. When we do away with the Creator and with the designer of the universe, and we say there is no Creator, then it's very easy to simply worship the stuff and the created things. Are you tracking with that? Right? Again, hear me out carefully here, right? We have a lot of people done a lot of study in this area. We had a whole movement at the end of the 1800s and the early 1900s to push away from the truth of creation. And as we did that, people began to say, well, maybe there's not a Creator. Maybe it's all just happened by chance. Maybe there really isn't a God. And all of a sudden, when there is no God, guess what? It's a free-for-all here, right? There's no accountability. There's no justice. There's no judgment. Let's just do whatever we want. And that's what results. When you remove the glory of the Creator, you end up with a society that has no direction, and they choose themselves and their own pleasure over everything else, which is only natural. They choose the stuff over the created things. And you might say to me this morning, well, preacher, we don't have idols of birds or snakes or even idols of human beings in our house. But I think God might say that oftentimes we worship the created things instead of the Creator. Again, hear me out clearly. I'm trying to speak gently, and to me too. We need to check our motives. Have we worshiped football or TV or hobbies or money or even people in place of the Creator? Yeah. Reflect on that just a little bit this morning. Am I choosing other things over really choosing to know God? And I would say at one point or another, most of us would have to say yes to that thing. When we are, I don't think it's far-fetched for us to say these things can literally be idols in our lives. And when you remove the Creator, you remove His instruction about what is best for humanity, and you insert your own pleasure. And when our own pleasures drive what is right and wrong in this world, we end up with immorality. And ultimately, we end up with chaos. We end up believing the lie that if we pursue our happiness at all costs, we will find it and no one will get hurt in the pursuit. But the Bible says God gave them over. in his wrath, instead of correcting and rebuking, he allowed them to pick the created things over the creator, and oh, the pain that it has caused. In that way, his wrath has been revealed. Stage one. All right, everybody with me? Look at stage two. Again, I'm going to be so clear today. These are not my words. This is not penology. This is the word of God, and we're declaring it clearly as it is written to us. The next stage is shameful lust. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. When we get rid of the truth of Adam and Eve, we open the door for anything. We get this idea, well, we came from slime. We're going to go to slime. Let's just do as we please. Who's to say what is right or wrong? It's all relative. Does that sound familiar? We live in a culture of relativity, don't we, right? You guys will hear it this way. Well, that's your truth. Well, that could be your truth. Well, that's your truth. This is my truth. This is your truth. No, no, no. There is God's truth, which is the truth, if there is God and if he is creator, in which we absolutely believe. But we've lived in a culture now that is just shutting that out. And so because of that, you have all this relativity. And we need to push back against it. Who's to say what is right or wrong if there is no God? Do what you think is best for you. Not only is immorality more accepted, but as listed here, shameful lust become accepted as well. And notice this phrase again. God gave them what? He gave them over. All right, look with me in verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. I want you to look at the end of verse 27. Not only do we see men committing shameful acts with other men, but the scripture says they received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Again, the wrath of God here, it's not lightning, it's not annihilation, it's not fire coming down from heaven. Sometimes God's wrath is simply allowing us to face the consequences of choosing our own pleasures instead of choosing him. Lord, please help us to daily choose you over ourselves. Now, this is where I want you to go back with me to verse 16 and 17. This is why the gospel is a gospel of faith, believing that what God has for you is better than what you can get for yourself. Do you believe it? I can get it in here sometimes, right? But boy, sometimes I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't know why. I would rather have more money. I would rather have more relationships. I would rather have more power. I would rather have more influence. I would rather have this. And the Bible is reminding us, do you have faith to trust what God has for you above everything else? And that's a daily decision, isn't it, right? It's a daily act of surrender. And that's where I'm trying to get all of us here today. Instead of judging other people and condemning them, let's look inside and ask ourselves, am I choosing what is best for me, which is to submit to God on a daily basis? That's the gospel of faith. Look at the last stage with me this morning. First stage, second stage, third stage, or the last one here. It is a depraved mind. Again, not my words, the word of God. They didn't think the knowledge of God was worthy of their time. Doesn't that sound like modern academia? Right? The knowledge of God is not really worth our time. This is not new. This is 2,000 years ago. The same thing was happening. When God is removed from knowledge, knowledge becomes desperately wicked, and the difference between good and evil becomes terribly skewed. Now, if you guys will bear with me, we're not going to go through them and do definitions on them. We could do that in a study sometime. But in verses 28 through 32, you will see 21 different vices listed. And God's wrath here is that every evil becomes acceptable and even celebrated. It's one thing to call sin, sin. It's one thing to say, I don't care, I want to do it anyway. But it's a whole different game to celebrate it and to say what is wicked and evil, we're going to flaunt it and shout it and celebrate it. And that's what happens here when God gives people over in his wrath. That's not my words. Look with me, verse 28 through 32. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to what? To a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. Look at some of the characteristics. I'll try to go slow, and you can kind of work with them with me through this passage. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, so a general overarching every kind of wickedness, evil, and then look at the next one, greed and depravity. They are full of what? Envy and murder and strife and deceit and even malice or hatred. They are, look at verse 29, they are gossips. They are slanderers. I don't know if I've ever seen a time there's more slanderers than what we have on social media today. They are God haters. They are insolent and arrogant and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity or loyalty, no love. And then the very saddest thing to me at the very end of verse 31 is what? No mercy. Did you catch that? No love. No mercy. Look in verse 32. Although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Right? You guys are with me, I can see. God gives them over to depravity. That's the revealing of God's wrath. Everything that would normally be understood as wickedness or sin now becomes accepted, and it's easily lived out. And if you would, even today, think of our own society. How do we encourage greed, envy, strife, deceit, gossip, slander, and arrogance? See if you think, if you agree with me on this one. Greed, envy, strife, deceit, gossip, slander, and arrogance. Many of these characteristics are not only contemplated, they are accepted, and in some cases, they are even taught as good business practice. It's okay to be a little greedy, right? That's just motivation. That's what drives you. It's okay to lie a little bit, right? Because you can get around the corners and that's going to give you an advantage, correct? It's okay to have a little arrogance. If you don't have confidence in yourself, who is, right? You need to be out there and playing it out. I would say that some of these very things are taught in business world, a business culture that, well, this is how it is. And the Lord says, this is my wrath being revealed against wickedness. Again, not my words, okay? Let us really check our own hearts this morning. We know this should not be, but this is the example of God giving us over to our own pleasures, and it results in so much unnecessary pain. Verse 31 says, they have no understanding of truth. They have no fidelity. In other words, loyalty is gone. And then, of course, the next two, they have no love and no mercy. If you guys remember just a few weeks ago, we were saying this very phrase from Jesus. Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire what? I desire mercy, right? Not sacrifice. And here we see a whole culture that is devoid of love and it's devoid of mercy because God's wrath has been revealed against their sin. Ultimately, these people not only practice the things, but what I would challenge you today is they approve and thereby celebrate others who do the same. And this should not be. And this is the bad news, all right? The bad news is if we continue to seek our own pleasures above God's desires for our lives, we will face his wrath. Can I say that again? If we continue to seek our own pleasures above God's desires for our lives, we will face his wrath. This is not some overlord sending down lightning, but it is ultimately facing the consequences for choosing sinful pleasure over the Lord's commands. And yes, we all do it. Jews and Gentiles alike, we all stand condemned before a holy God, but oh, the good news. What's the good news? Let me give you a verse this morning. 1 John 1:9. What does it say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, you people just kill me sometimes. That makes me just want to dance and jump up and down, right? You see how bad the bad is? God's wrath is revealed and it remains on those who reject the Son. But if we would confess our sins, God is also just and faithful and will forgive us because they were paid for in Jesus and he'll cleanse us and he will free us from all unrighteousness. That's the good news. As we sang this morning, who are you sharing that with? Jesus died that we might be set free from wrath, that we would not have to be given over to the consequences of choosing our own pleasure, but that through his power, we might choose the good things he has for us now and to come. Isn't that good? Wrath has been revealed, but so has righteousness, and it has been made available to all who would receive Jesus. And that, my friends, is the gospel. Here's the question that we have this morning. What will you do with it? What will you do with the gospel? What will you do with the good news? Will you accept it? Hopefully you already have, right? Will you claim it? Will you say, I'm a Christian. I bear that title and I'm trying to live it out. Will you pursue it? I want to know more about the Lord. I want to know his plans for me. I want to know the good things he has for me. Will you share it? I got to tell other people, right? You guys, I say it way too many times, but I think it's a good repetitive story. The day that I came to Jesus, I got off the couch, went out the house, got on my old rusty girl's bike that my mom and dad had for me because we didn't have any money. I rode down to Brandon Horn's house as fast as I could ride because I had to tell him what had happened to me. I was changed and I had to share it. Will you share the good news with other people, or will we decline to do this at our own peril? And that's the ultimate question. What will you do with the truth that Jesus died for you? Let's stand this morning. Thank you guys so much for your patience. I know this is not an easy passage. I know this topic is not an easy topic, but it is true. And it's something that we need to understand and comprehend and be able to speak about well and to be able to share with our family and friends. And the reason that the good news is so good is because the bad news is bad. And the bad news is God's wrath is revealed. But the good news is Jesus made a way that we do not have to face the wrath of God. This morning, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, we're going to sing a song of invitation, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. We'd love for you to come forward and to pray. If you'd like to pray with any of us after service, we'd be glad to do that as well. But two things today. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, I'd invite you to come today and come to this altar on these steps and say, Lord, please, I confess my sins to you. Forgive me. I know that you died and rose again, and I want to know you. And the Lord Jesus will come into your life and will change it. If you've never done that, we'd love for you to do that today. Second thing today, though, for all you that have done that and you know who Jesus is, God is calling us to share this good news. And as we sing today, I want you to pray, Lord, help me to have an opportunity this week to tell the good news to someone who is in my life. Let's bow our heads this morning. We'll have just a moment of quiet and then a brief prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, today we simply come not ashamed of the gospel, but we want to declare the truth that you have revealed your wrath against all unrighteousness and wickedness. But Lord, also you made a path whereby through faith we could trust in Jesus and we can be saved from your wrath. And not only that, the double cure, we can be made pure and have a presence in your kingdom. Lord, guide us this morning and this week, and please give us opportunity to share the good news. And Lord, please continue to bring more people into your kingdom. They can know the love and the forgiveness that you provide. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. And amen.